Like to stay with you, then that's totally fine as well. If you will, turn to Daniel chapter 5. Now, if I really messed you up because I didn't change it on the board if you was looking over there. But anyway, Daniel chapter 5 this morning, as we're going to look, and as God was bringing this message to my mind, thinking about being weighed in the balances. And today we need to weigh our Christian service in the balances of God and see which direction it's leaning. Is our service to God very lean? Is our service to His kingdom on the lean side? Are we tipping the balance of the price that He paid to our service to Him? Which way is it leaning? Now, guarantee you though, no matter how much we do, it still can't balance it out for the blood of Jesus. But sometimes we can put a little bit more in the scale than what we are. But we see today that this king that we're going to talk about, he was weighed in the balances of God, and he was found wanting. I don't want my Christian service and my Christian walk with God to be found wanting. I don't want him to have to send out a search party. I kid with people from time to time when they've not been in a while. So they tell them we're going to send a search party out. I told Bush that this morning. Now, I just kid, and I wasn't going to send a search party out for him. I just hoping and praying he wasn't sick. I know his mother's had some health issues and things, and Jessica, she's had some kidney stones, but we're glad they're back. And I may kid with you, but don't get offended by it, because that's just my way of telling you I missed you. And we're glad to see you. But you know, how many times does God need to send out a search party for us when it comes time to our service to Him? We know He knows exactly where we're at in all aspects of our life. He knows our walk. He's ordained the steps before we ever take them. But if we're weighed in His balance this morning, which direction and how much are we putting in those balances for God? How many rewards are we trying to lay up in heaven to lay back at His feet this morning? We see this king, he wasn't thinking godly. He was going to look at the things that in his big party that he was having and his earthly good times to bring him satisfaction and to bring him joy and to get a pat on the back from his friends. Now let me tell you, the pats on your back will soon wear away. The accolades of this world will not stand. But the treasures that you lay up in heaven, that you lay in God's scale of time and God's measurement of time and things and balances, is what will last. How dedicated are we to the service of God? How dedicated are we to keep this building holy and sanctified and worship God in spirit and in truth? How clean and holy do we keep this temple that God's Spirit indwells in each and every one of us every day? And as we bring His Spirit comes to fill this place because we've brought Him with us. And then God's presence can fill this place to meet with His Spirit to guide us as His people. But if we're weighed in the balance and we're found wanting, are we seeking, are we searching, are we diligently trying to find the answers that God has for our life? There's many people today that are diligently seeking answers to try to balance budgets. Well, they try to find them how much more money they can spend, seems like, than to balance budgets and play games. We cannot play games with God. As God's people, that game, if we try to play one against Him, we will always lose. Because He is all-knowing. He knows our heart and He knows our steps and where we're walking in the light and in the darkness. And in the darkness we stumble, just as this king stumbled when he made a decision to desecrate the vessels of the temple that were sanctified and holy for his wine-drinking party that he was having. In Daniel chapter 5, it begins in verse 1, Belshazzar king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. They were having a big feast, a big time. Today, we're having big times that we try to put on airs for people. We spread our fingers big and wide trying to keep up with the Joneses. No offense. But people do that, trying to keep up with one another. Somebody's got something that somebody else, well, we got to have one bigger. We got to have one greater. We got to have a bigger church. It gets into the preachers too. I'll just throw them in there. That church's not big enough. I got to have a bigger church. I got to have a larger following. I got to say what they want to hear so they don't fire me. We call it foreign where I'm from. Firing, whatever you say it. But we get caught up in trying to make a name for ourselves and have greater and greater things. We build up our barns and tear them down instead of giving God the glory for it, instead of giving God the praise. We heap to ourselves that we may have it in our old age to look back on and say, look what I've done, what I've accumulated. Now, if you remember King Solomon, God gave him riches and rule and wisdom because all he asked for was the wisdom. There's nothing wrong with the riches as long as you keep God in the proper perspective. God wants to bless and make us prosperous. But if it comes to the point that we forget Him, where is our priorities? Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. It wasn't just enough to have his party, but he had to desecrate those holy instruments that were brought from the temple in Jerusalem that had been sanctified. Now, was it because of the gold? No. Was it because of the silver? No. It was because they were set aside to the service of God. Guess what? We're set aside to the service of God. And we're being desecrated in this world today because of the things that they're trying to shove down our throats to tell us that's normal. And it's causing the balance of God to be weighed in the wrong direction. God said we can't serve two masters. We can't straddle from one pan of the balance to the other and try to make it balance out and say everything's all right. It won't work that way. God said we must serve Him. But we see here that they had to bring in these instruments. Verse 3, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods, if you'll notice the little g, O-D-S, the gods of gold, of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Let me tell you, friends, he's all the same God. And he used these precious things here that they were sanctifying and holding precious as building materials for my home. He just used them for building materials. But they worshiped the gods of those. They didn't worship the true God, who is God of all creation. And the same hour came forth finger of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall in the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote against one another. Today, what I would like to see happen in Washington, you say, well, you pick on them a lot. There's a lot needs to be straightened out up there. There's not needs to be straightened out in our homes first. And then it will get to Washington. But there needs to be some handwriting on the walls and some places there where decisions are being made that are ungodly and not lining up with God's wisdom and direction for this country. That there needs to be some handwriting that is written that they can see beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have to return to the fellowship with God and following after Him. That the handwriting would be on the walls of the churches across the land and country, that we'd quit playing church and get back to serving God. Amen. That we wouldn't be ashamed to lift up our mouths and our voices and our hands and say, we're not going to take it anymore. We are the children of the Most High God. Our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got the balances and He's weighing it out today, and our country is found wanting. Our leadership is found wanting. Our Christian families are found wanting because we've left God out. And we need to get back into service of God. We've put too many of the sacred things in desecration this morning. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. He gave them an incentive program. Give them an incentive program. You know, today we have to compete with incentive programs that's going on. Instead of just the Word of God being enough anymore, we got to have a great youth group. And I'm so proud of our youth group, don't get me wrong, but you just follow with me. We got to have a great youth group. We've got to have a ministry for this and a ministry for that and a ministry for this and a ministry for that, and I've got to have this and I've got to have that, and we don't ask God if it's what we need. We've got so many programs across the land and country to take care of everybody's needs that we forgot what the basic need is of people to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and to get saved. We got Christians sitting on pews dying, or people that say they're Christians sitting on pews and dying and going to hell because they've never been saved. They've never heard the Word of God preached to the point where the power is still in the blood and salvation's through Jesus Christ, not by signing the church guard and putting money in the plate every week. We have to know Him. We're being weighed in the scales, church, and I want us to come out on the positive side for God. I don't want to find us wanting. I don't want Him to look down and find us wanting. I want us to be warned and know that, hey, listen, this is not going on, but it can slip in. We have to keep our wits about us. We have to know where Satan can attack us, and we have to keep our minds upon Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, last night I was watching Family Feud. And they asked him on there, said, if somebody was talking about the king, who would they be referring to? You know who they said before they said Jesus? Michael Jackson. Elvis Presley. Before Jesus was ever mentioned. Then it worried me that it might not make the survey. There might not be enough people in America to know that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But thank God it was there. It was the number two answer. And it was sad that Elvis Presley was number one. The king of rock and roll. Who is your king? Who is our king in America today? Who are we following? President Obama's not king. He's just a man like you and I are, or Michelle Obama's just a woman like some of the rest of you are. We got to find the direction under God's control. We're being weighed in the balances today, our churches are. There's many things that's going on that's not in God's Word. When God said it was wrong, that settled it, whether we believe it or not. God said it was right, that settled it, whether we believe it or not. It's not changed. He said He was the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Also says in God's Word that is now has already been, and that will be has already been, and God requireth the past. We go through a cycle where we keep repeating history. That's why God gave us His book, so we wouldn't have to keep making the same mistake time and time and time again, that we could finally get on the path of righteousness for His name's sake by following His book and knowing His story. But we have to know it, and we have to be weighing His balances daily to make sure what we are studying, what we are saying, what we are believing is the true Word of God. And not be led astray. Belshazzar was led astray because of his pride, of his accomplishments of defeating. Wanted him to have a big face before his friends and a big name. It says then in verse 8, then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astounded. We need some people having some experiences with God, that their countenance would be changed, that their hearts would be melted and made soft, and their necks would be loosened that they could bow their head and humble themselves before a living true God. We need it to happen in our churches. We need it to happen in our families. We need it to happen in our leadership across the board. An humble heart. With an humble heart, you can have an understanding heart. You can look on people and have sympathy with them when they're going through things if you have an understanding heart. And you try to see their side of what's going on. I'm glad that God sees all sides of our life and knows exactly what we're in the need of. Verse 10, now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man. There is a man. Today we need some men to be men of God. God put the responsibility on us as being the head of the household. He holds you responsible, men, for the leadership of your families. Also for the leadership of His church, with Him being the head and us being His stewards to carry out those responsibilities. He didn't put that upon the ladies to have to take that responsibility. And it's time that men stood up and fulfilled the responsibility that God has given to us as being men of God. That we make a difference in our homes, that we make a difference in our church, and we make a difference in our communities. That we be men of God. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father's light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. This was a very wise woman. She remembered Daniel. She remembered his ability to share the interpretation of dreams, his steadfastness, and that in him was found an excellent spirit. Do you have the same witness? Do you have a spirit of excellency in you, not because of who you are, but because of who God is? That you live a godly life according to God's spirit of direction, because of God's spirit in His Word and His direction in His Word, that we live a life that there would be an excellent spirit in us. Or when people see you coming, do they duck out the side door and go somewhere else because they don't want nothing to do with you, because it's not an excellent spirit? It's a spirit that needs to be exercised and moved out. To have an excellent spirit as being a Christian, to be able to draw people to you because of the life that you live and because of the God you serve, and that you serve Him with all your heart at all times. That's not easy. It's not easy. People are going to get on your nerves. They're going to get under your skin. You're going to rub each other raw, because sometimes we just have conflict. But the salve for all those problems still is Jesus Christ. But to have an excellent spirit about you, that people say, well, if I know of anybody who can get in touch with God, this person can. This person will know. This person can tell you what the Word says. I want that excellent spirit shining forth for me to be a child of the living God, to be a man of God, a woman of God, that people will see what being a Christian is truly about, not just saying you are. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee. Now, if you'll notice, they didn't respect the God that Daniel serves. They was always referring to him as one of the gods. Let me tell you, there's gods, but there's only one God. There's only one God. All the others are figments of people's imagination that they've come up with. There's one true living God. And that the light of understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men and the astrologers have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the king of the thing. Let me tell you, people that don't know God can't tell you the interpretation of God's Word. There's a lot of people that are out there that claim to be atheists that know God's Word, but they can't give you the interpretation thereof. There's people that claim to have religion under some other name besides Jesus Christ. They can't tell you the interpretation of God's book because they don't have His wisdom. Just like the soothsayers and astrologers of Belshazzar, they couldn't read the writing because they didn't know the information. But Daniel did. Daniel was in contact with the one that wrote it on the wall. We need to be in contact with the one that had the book pinned down for us to read and read his word. Now I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. There's that incentive program once again. If you can do this, then I'm going to give you all this. To some people, that would turn their eye and say, yeah, buddy, I want all that. But what does it do for Daniel? Not a thing. Not a thing. He's like, I'll just tell you what it means, that all that. Because he knew it was a message from God. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom, majesty, and glory, and honor. Our forefathers, God, gave us a country that was clothed in honor, given to us in liberty, paid for by the blood of our forefathers that sweated and bled and died for this country to give us independence. But it was ordained of God before they ever shed the first drop of blood that this would be America. And it would be a God nation that would be under His leadership and His rule. But man slowly and slowly has taken it away and said, we're not going to believe the sacred oaths of God's Word. We're not going to keep His commandments. We're not going to honor Him. We're not going to praise Him. We're not going to put Him first and foremost. Because of our knowledge and understanding, we've become ignorant in the ways of God. But He gave Nebuchadnezzar the land, and give him the kingdom, and was majesty, glory, and honor. And for thy majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Are we always going to be on top? Not when we get hardened by pride. Not when we get lifted up in our mind and think that we're something we're not. This has been a great nation, still is a great nation, but we faltered and we have failed in the ways of God. And the only way our strength can return as America is to get back to God. To His strength and His leadership and His understanding. Not be lifted up in pride and think that we are something when we're not. And He was driven from the sons of men, and His heart was made like the beast. And His dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed Him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till He knew that He was the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that He appointeth over it whomsoever He will. You remember, He was like the beast of the field. His glory was taken as the wild beast being fed. Sometimes that's the way we feel in America. I feel like we're just getting the refuge that's being tossed out, maybe the slop that's given to the hogs, because we're not living the life of the godly people that we should live after. We're not claiming the rights that's given to us as Christians. We're not living those lives because we are weak in our beliefs. We need to know God's Word, that we can believe God's Word, that we stand on God's Word and realize we don't have to settle for second best. Because God said He wanted to bless us as His people. We're being weighed in the balances, just as Belshazzar is going to find out. And thou... His son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. He said, you know what happened to your daddy, and you followed right in his footsteps. You've lifted yourself up. You've went and desecrated those holy instruments that were brought out of the temple, and you've done exactly the same thing. We can see by God's example in His Word exactly where Israel messed up, and we go and make the same mistakes that Israel did. By allowing pagan practices in our church, by allowing pagan worship of the false gods in America and not standing up against it, God's not pleased. But listen, it's not too late. Why, preacher, is it not too late? I'm still breathing. You're still breathing. God's still got a plan. God's still got a purpose. God's balances are still there weighing it out. But we've got to get on board with God's program. He said, you knew all these things, but still yet you followed in your father's footsteps. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hands thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Now, do we fear God in that respect? Do you realize and remember that your very next breath is in God's hands? I mean, when you think about that, you think about how gracious God has been to us. Not only what He's allowed us to have, but that we continue to breathe because He lets us. Now, He don't hold that over us, but you think of the power that's in God's hand. When you think about His awesomeness and His greatness and His power that He has, that our very next breath is in His control. We need to honor Him. We need to respect Him. We need to praise Him. We need to serve Him, that He may bless us with another breath, that He may give us another day to praise Him and to worship Him on this earth. But you've not glorified Him. Then was the part of the hand sent from Him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Many, many, tekel, euphrasin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. I don't want God to number my ministry and finish it today. If He says this is it, this is my last day, then so be it. But I don't want it to be because of me and my disobedience. I want it to be because He's through with me and not going to use me any longer, and not because of the mistakes that I've made, because of the sin that I have, that it's weighed in the scales, that it were found to be righteous by His name's sake, for His name's sake. And the perfection that we work to is the perfecting of the inner man that's sanctified by the blood of Jesus. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. But the part that's inside of me that's going to see Jesus, He's perfect. This flesh is not, but my soul is made perfect through the blood of Christ. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Today, if your Christian service to God was put in the balances, would it move the scale? Just a little bit. Or would it be bottomed out and be found wanting? The question was asked to us when we were in school in chemistry, which weighed more, a pound of lead or a pound of feathers? There were many people said, well, the pound of feathers would have to weigh more. And I was sitting there thinking, they're both a pound. There's more feathers, but they're both a pound. But how's our service to God? Do we have a pound? Or do we have pounds? Do we have ounces? Do we have grams? I can't remember get on any lower than that. Millimeters, milligrams, millimeters, that's length, milligrams, micrograms. What is our service to God? If it was weighed in the balance this morning, how would we weigh out? Now me, if He weighed me by what I weighed, I could tip the scale just a little bit. But that ain't how it goes. It's not the stature or the size of the body, but it's the service of the man that God sees. The service to Him that God sees. This man's service was found wanting. Perez, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. One time, in this country, no one would have ever said anything against the God of heaven. People would have been estranged. People would have been made fun of if they had mentioned any other God or any other religion other than God himself. But slowly but surely, Satan got his foothold and has been allowed to continue. And we've seen us weaken. But God wants to give us back our strength. He doesn't want the kingdom divided. He wants it united under His blood. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. When God's judgment is passed, it's very quickly. Very quickly. He is long-suffering and takes a long time to come to the point when His wrath may be unleashed. But once His judgment is passed, it will come very quickly. And Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 80 years old. Friends, I want you to know it doesn't matter your age. God can use you. What matters is our service to Him. He has a pair of scales. His salvation is full and free through the blood of Jesus. God paid that price for you and I that it didn't cost us anything. What will we gain to surrender to God? There's so many things I can't tell y'all of them. But most of all, the one thing you won't have to ever face is hell. If you trust Jesus as your Savior, the only thing you're going to give up in is the depressing thoughts of hell and being in hell and burning for an eternity and the torment and the toil and the troubles that goes along with it. That's what you'll give up. And you'll gain all the goodness of God, all the glories that God has. We can make mistakes. God is long-suffering. He's been long-suffering with us as a country. Sometimes He's been long-suffering with His churches. But He said, look, if you don't straighten up, I know your good deeds. He talks about it in Revelation. I know the good things you've done, and here's the bad things, and if you don't repent, I'm coming and taking my spirit from your church. I think there's some churches in America the Spirit's left. And there's no movement of the people and they're slowly dying because they've left the Word and they've left God. Friend, I don't want us to ever put ourselves before God. When we do, we worship a false God. We worship a false God. Belshazzar's life was required of him because of his desecration, because he did not recognize the Most High God. Because he didn't surrender his heart and humble himself. Nebuchadnezzar, his father, after a period of time, came to himself and realized that there was a God in heaven, that he gave the kingdoms, that he set up the rulers, and he could also bring them down. Belshazzar didn't realize that. He had the example before him. We've got the example before us, what to do, what not to do. What path will you choose today? What part of the balances are we going to be in? Are we going to be found wanting today? Friends, you don't have to be. If you're lost this morning, you can be saved. You can be saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He said you can, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. But you must trust Him. You're in the balances this morning. Right now, they're not tipped in your favor. But Jesus will put His blood in there and pay your sin debt and bring it even and give you the keys to the kingdom. As we stand to our feet, as all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed.